Next on BYUSN, Cougar football rolls into the Wyoming Plains as an 11-point favorite over the struggling Cowboys. Is that a fair line heading into the weekend? BYU TV analyst and former standout linebacker Isaiah Kaufusi recaps BYU's win against SMU, what he liked the most, and what he expects in Wyoming.
What Power 4 team do we want to see on BYU's non-conference schedule next year? And how does training with Olympians help this year's cross-country runners? We'll talk to two of them in studio.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Wednesday, September 11th. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Obviously, September 11th carries with it some added significance as we celebrate Patriots Day. We honor the heroes that were
absolutely fallen. It's been, it's been 23 years since that fateful day. Were you on your mission when it happened?
Yeah, I was in South Korea. Yeah. And it's still surreal and felt like a movie watching those events unfold on TV.
Yeah, I was in high school, and I remember exactly where I was and what happened. And so we remember that day today with a couple of things. One is the tower climb. I did this in 2021. Real emotional at LaBelle Edwards Stadium. You can go up and down the stairs. There are firemen who show up in full gear and do it. Really emotional to watch those guys do that. You can go to BYUCougars.com for more info. 7 o'clock tonight. And then Chad Lewis, every year on 9/11, hikes, he says runs, the Y, with a BYU flag. You see, Chad and some homies did it this morning at 7 a.m. is when he started. So representing and remembering and thinking about certainly what happened that day and how we can be better to each other and better Americans moving forward.
I dare you to find a more patriotic person on BYU's campus than Chad Lewis.
Chad's red, white, and blue, man.
He is at the top of the
red,
list.
Red, white, and blue.
For sure. Appreciate all he does and how he represents BYU. And, again, hard to believe it's been 23 years since that fateful day.
Yeah.
I was explaining it to my kids last night that this is, in many ways, like a new Pearl Harbor for America.
And they're like, what's Pearl Harbor? And then you explain
Pearl
Harbor,
how you were attacked
right?
on your own soil.
Yep.
So anyway, we appreciate the brave country, the brave servicemen and women that serve our country so much.
100%.
Incredible stuff. On that note, plenty of reason right now to rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
So they've played 79 games.
Frigid cold, outdoors. You're going to be roughing.
Oh, he can't just win, Spencer.
They do.
Yeah, Miles Davis is going to start. Remember him?
Sure. Wyoming? I mean, BYU should go in and crush these fools.
What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Jerem told you yesterday how he feels about what BYU should do in Laramie on Saturday.
Come on now.
Quote, unquote, crush those fools,
crush
right?
Crush these fools, man.
Yet BYU is right now an 11-point favorite as they head across the plains and into War Memorial Stadium for Saturday night's game against Wyoming.
I thought we already crossed those. We got to go back?
Got to go back.
Dang it.
Should BYU be more than an 11-point favorite? All things considered, injuries, some offensive struggles last week, and it is a road game, Jerem.
Probably not. I just think they're going to cover big, Spence. Because the offense has struggled and Wyoming has struggled, like, it's an interesting dynamic in this, not to mention running back injuries for BYU. So let's walk through it. Okay, Wyoming super struggled, right? Jay Saville's guys trying to figure it out on offense. Evans Fabota looks like Ivan Drago, but really struggling as a passer, just 41%. He's thrown for 168 total, not a game, total. Bottom 10 in everything, offensive, all the metrics. The one that sticks out, 3.2 yards per play is lowest in college football. So that's tough. Losing home to Idaho's tough. It's even bad for Wyoming. They were 9-4 last year. That was a good Wyoming team. But that's rough. For BYU, they got two big issues right now. One, Jay Kretzloff versus FBS teams. Turning it over has been an issue. His one outlier is an FCS team, so it's hard to be like, that was a real change. He's got to show that he can take care of the ball against FBS competition,
yes.
Not to mention Power 4 competition coming up next week against Kansas State. And then BYU's top two running backs are not expected to play in this game. They're doubtful. LJ Martin, Hinkley Ropati, road game in a hostile environment against a Wyoming team that, like we said with Boise State a couple years ago, is BYU going to play Wyoming ever again, Spence? Like, is this the last version of this for a while or ever? I don't know. So it's sort of a big game in terms of the history there and what's happened with BYU and Wyoming. It's interesting. I don't think the line should be different than this. I just think BYU should cover this. And even with third, fourth, and fifth string running backs, I think they should. This is a Wyoming team that struggled. It's a BYU team on offense that needs to show way better this week.
It is about business. We went through the same thing. We've had this conversation or some form of this conversation based on every line that has come out, whether it was against Southern Illinois or BYU was, what, a 14.5 point favorite?
We've been surprised all 3 weeks.
And then SMU, as much as an 11 or 12 point underdog. So, again, the conversation continues. It's about business. Now, BYU has obviously covered and covered well. But if you consider what BYU is, they are a team that turned the ball over a bunch against SMU a week ago. Yep. And, I mean, grinded out a tough win. Great win, no doubt, but had to grind out an 18-15 win.
Got lucky that skilled, that the defense was so good, Spence. Like, is the defense going to bail out BYU?
Can they do it again?
Wyoming's not SMU on offense.
And no, not even close.
But Kansas State is. Kansas State is different. They're number 14 in the country.
Kansas State's better than SMU, in my opinion.
They're number 14 in the country.
They're a better team.
They're number 14.
Really,
of course,
good,
yeah.
And they come into Provo in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I feel like the line is justified, and it still takes into account that Jake Retzlaff is still 2-4 as a starter and has had his concerns taking care of the ball. And BYU's down their top two starting running backs. All of the reasons that you listed make this understandable. But I can promise you that if this game finishes with BYU as a 10 or 11 point winner,
it ain't
nobody's going to be happy.
No.
Nobody.
In fact.
Maybe outside of the team. They'll take wins. Coach speak, player speak, wins are wins. Just find a way to win the game.
No, not
it doesn't matter. Just win.
Not when that team lost at home to Idaho last week.
This feels differently because Arizona State beat Wyoming by 41 points. Wyoming looked dead after a quarter of play against Arizona State. They were done, cooked. And then they come home and lose to Idaho. And as you said, their backup quarterback.
To the backup. It wasn't even the starter.
In the world. They lost to Idaho for the first time in a century.
It was a freshman, too. Like, it wasn't some senior transfer.
100 years since Idaho had beaten Wyoming. BYU should feel plenty motivated, especially the offense, because they want to come out and prove that they are better. It makes sense, but BYU needs to win by more than 11 for people to feel like they have a legit shot to come home and beat a very good top 15 ranked Kansas State team.
Two thoughts, if I remember. One, in 22, BYU beat Wyoming by 14, and we were like, what was that? You had to win by more. We complained then. Number two, we believe that the BYU run game is going to be better than last year, but we don't have evidence that it is yet, Spence. They were sub 4 yards per carry in both of the first two games of this year. You go back to last year, they really struggled. One of the worst rushing teams in the country. We need a game where we go, boom, baby. 5 yards per carry, really dominated. I'm not saying, again, we're hoping they're better, but the evidence, if we were in a court of law discussing whether the BYU run game was improved from last year, we could not validate that they are because we don't have the evidence quite yet. BYU would be guilty of being the same run game.
The offensive
this
line
is
play
the week.
Is better.
Yes, but ultimately, how do we quantify that?
Pass protection, it's been way better. Caleb Etienne's grades, like all the guys are grading out well, especially in pass protection.
You've given up 3 sacks in 2 games. That's fine.
That's
but
awesome.
I'm talking run game, dog.
Sure.
Like yards per carry, we don't have a number that's good enough. Even the stated number of TJ Woods, which was 4 yards per carry. They are under that currently. So this is a game where you need to get some confidence.
Can they do
even
that
with the third string?
Yes, without their best running backs in play.
Yes, because jazz musician Miles Davis and Enoch Nawahine, even with that, are fully capable of giving BYU a game where they go 4 yards per carry plus. Because if you only go 4, does this mean you're going to be able to run the ball well enough against Kansas State? We're going to read into this Wyoming game way more than just the result. It's going to be, does this mean BYU is ready for Big 12 play? Does this mean they can compete and beat Kansas State at home? This is a big game in a lot of ways. Obviously, you want to be 3-0. I'm not questioning whether BYU is going to win this game. This would be an absolutely horrendous loss. It's whether they win by enough, whether they can establish the run game, whether they can take care of the ball. There's some real important things that we need to see in this game. Because we saw some of them against SIU, but on offense, we did not see them against SMU.
Sure. And again, a final score does not totally indicate how the game went.
Sure.
BYU might be up 31-10 with 8 minutes to go in the game, and they've
zero
controlled
turnovers.
It. They've played clean football.
And 4.5 yards
they've
per carry.
They've run it well. Yeah. They've had long, sustained drives, and they're clearly in control. But then they put some backups in for the final 7 minutes of the game, and let's say Wyoming kicks a field goal. It's 31-13, and then there is a turnover by the backups, and there's a garbage touchdown with 30 seconds to play, and it's 31-20. And
let's draw a line.
Somehow it's there.
When it was over. And BYU.
I want this game to be over halfway through the third quarter. Done.
That would be nice.
I want it to be in control. Like BYU is up by 3+ scores by the time we get to the middle part of the third quarter, and it feels like they've got it.
I want to see Gary Bohannon either way, Spence.
I would love it.
I want to see Gary Bohannon in this game. I'm going to leave it at that. No, I want Jake to have great success. Great success! Not turn it over, chuck it deep. Everything's going great. You bring in Gary. And if Gary's in early enough to where he can still pass the ball, I want to see Gary throw the ball. Because I don't want Gary to have his first, he didn't throw a pass against SIU. You didn't play against SMU. I want him to be able to have a couple of drives where it was like, no, we had play action. I threw the ball down the field.
Yes.
Not, oh, man, now you had to come in whatever game for whatever reason, and you haven't had a meaningful throw yet.
I want Wyoming fans to leave the stadium early because they're done. It's over.
Because passed out.
It's over. You're done. You're cooked in however ways you want to define it. Okay, out of there. I want them
ASU
to be,
again.
I want them to be disengaged by the middle of the third quarter. Like, let's get out of here. This is terrible.
Yeah.
That's how I hope the game goes.
Yeah.
But as far as the 11-point favorite line, no. That's probably what it should be.
It's fair.
It's what it should be right now. But we all, and I, by all, generally speaking, feel like BYU should dominate this game. They should win by more than this. It should not be close.
17+, or we riot. Well, come on. Let's go.
I mean, even the Football Power Index, which has not been favorable at all to BYU.
Enjoy this one.
They give BYU an 86% chance to win the game.
That went up like 7% after last week, by the way.
Was that more than BYU's percent to win against Southern Illinois? Isn't that a higher number?
I think so.
Holy cow.
Wyoming was good last year. They for whatever reason, you know, Craig Bohl retires, sends the DC, by the way, Aaron. And it's Jay Saville's show. He was the DC. So it's just a different situation right now. On offense, they can't figure it out. Defense, they got rocked against ASU. Their defense played fine against Idaho. They only gave up 17, but they only scored 13. So we'll see what BYU musters here. But it is interesting because it's not about winning this week.
Turnovers,
it's about way more.
Turnovers can give a terrible team hope. If BYU cannot take care of the football, then this game's going to be a lot more uncomfortable and close than most want it to be.
Wyoming's -4. Haven't got a takeaway.
Don't give them their first.
BYU is +1, by the way.
All right.
+1.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, Wyoming currently in the bottom 10 college football rankings. They're one of the 10 worst football
teams
in America.
And then you give me a stat, I'll tell you where they are in the bottom 10.
How about total offense, Jerem?
They're terrible. Total offense, yards a game, they're third worst in the country.
Well, there you go. How about total defense, Jerem?
Total defense. They've actually been okay in total defense. In points per play, they're 120th.
Yikes.
But EPA, 123rd. Yep. They're 112th, so they're not bottom 10, but they're bottom 30. Like, the 48 allowed against ASU is terrible. But 17, they kind of figured that out a little bit. But, yeah, and they're not, like, 362 yards total defense. They're not giving up 500 a game, Spence. But, yeah, you got to go in there and win this and hammer them.
You
just got to do it.
They are averaging 194 yards of total offense.
Pathetic.
For two games.
It's terrible.
Run. 194.
Is this a game where the BYU defense needs to get a score? I said that yesterday. Like, I feel like this is they got a score in this game
and
help the offense.
Can they grant BYU just domination and average starting field position? Because that's
at least
an area where BYU has struggled because of turnovers.
Yes. Let me give you that one, too. Net field position, 119.
Because BYU
because turnovers
turned
inside
it over,
the 25 of SMU.
All three of the turnovers were rather deep in their own territory, or
the
at least
one
in
with
midfield.
Two of the three, yeah. One of them with Jake was kind of down in midfield. But
okay.
Yeah. Okay, it's pretty interesting what we got yesterday. John Canzano reported that Portland State is going to be on the 2025 non-conference schedule
okay.
for BYU. We thought that was going to be Southern Utah. Well,
Yes, it's funny that we're talking about Wyoming because you didn't want the Wyoming game.
No.
And so it's fitting that we're discussing scheduling stuff here because you want to avoid a scenario like Wyoming, which is happening this week.
Yes, but don't go to Portland State. It's home. It's FCS. Mm-hmm. Southern Utah appears to be out as that game. We know that BYU is playing at ECU, so another road G5 game. Not a huge fan of those. It's a return game from 22. I wish BYU would buy those out. Tom Homo feels, as a scheduler, he needs to live up to those commitments.
I do not like the road game at ECU.
Yeah. So we know Portland State. We know ECU on the road next year. Then there's going to be a Power 4 game. You have to play a non-conference Power 4 game. The league says you have to do that. We can surmise that it'll be home because next year is a 4-home game Big 12 season. Mm. So BYU's not going to play 5 home games in a year. They'll play 6 at a minimum. So what type of Power 4 opponent are you hoping for on next year's home schedule?
I would love to see like an Oregon State or Washington State.
I feel
State
the same way,
up.
Dude. Yeah, exactly that.
Like invite one of those two teams that are the remaining Pac-2 mm-hmm. to come and play in Provo. Because, again, it has to be a home game so that BYU can have six home games next year. Yeah. So if it was an Oregon State or a Washington State, I would love that. And I'm guessing that because those two teams did not re-up their deal with the Mountain West Conference and that scheduling agreement.
They're looking for games.
They're certainly looking for games.
They were supposed to by September 1st, by the way, and they didn't. The Mountain West didn't with them.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
So that's what I'm saying.
Like, used to be the West Coast Conference.
They are now in need of a bunch of games because that deal did not happen. Well, here comes BYU. They need a game early. Why not bring Oregon State or Washington State in?
There's some history, obviously, with Kalani at Oregon State. Also, Tom Homo is an empathetic AD scheduler with football because he was looking for all these independent games forever. Those teams were part of BYU's independent schedules, by the way. Home and road a couple of times. So I would... love that kind of game. I feel the exact same way. Give me one of the P2, which I assume is honored by the Big 12.
Yeah.
Now, if the Big 12 says those two actually don't count anymore, sorry, then they're going to have to go out and look for somebody else.
Or Cal or Stanford, for that matter.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Give me one of the Bay Area teams.
Sure. Would love a former Pac-12 team that isn't in the Big 12. It would be funny if the league's like, oh, yeah, you can do one of those non-conference.
Yes.
No.
And when I say Pac-12 teams, I mean ACC teams like Cal and Stanford.
Which, by the way, we...
So weird.
I know. I'm still getting used to it. We know the home and road schedule minus that game next year. So let's look at it. Portland State at home, TBD P4, Utah, TCU, West Virginia, UCF. Pretty good.
Solid.
Not as good as this year, but pretty good. Road, ECU, Arizona, Cincinnati, Colorado, Iowa State, Texas Tech. Winnable. That's a winnable road situation for
right
BYU.
Right now, based on where those programs are, it feels like a more favorable schedule.
Like Iowa State, way too early? 8-4. No. Iowa State is a tough game. Texas Tech is a winnable game. Colorado is a winnable game. At Colorado. Will Deion be at Colorado when they come
Who
to Provo in the future?
I don't think they'll have their current quarterback there. I think he's going to the league after this year.
Everyone thinks. Cincinnati. Arizona is a fun road game for all the BYU fans down there. And let's be honest, BYU's had a lot of success down there, except for when we went to the 2006 game and ECU. So 25 shaping up to be pretty interesting, too. We'll see what P4 comes to Provo. We know it's not Notre Dame and Tennessee. We know that.
They have opted
out. They avoided it.
They have opted out.
Tennessee bought it out. Notre Dame was scared.
Okay, football out, basketball in. We talked about basketball all summer long for good reason around BYU.
Yeah, dude.
Kevin Young and his staff and this unprecedented recruiting class that he has put together just continues to get better. Well, not surprisingly, Jeff Goodman, notable college basketball insider, recently gave BYU an off-season grade of A+.
I like it.
A+!
Yeah.
Whoa! How do you feel about that lofty grade from Jeff Goodman?
I feel like he nailed it because obviously BYU has made waves nationally and the reaction's been awesome. It's one thing to have kind of internal validation of like, okay, we hired the right guy. It's been validated not only with the reaction from people in the around the country, like Jeff Goodman and others, but with the actual players who decided that they want to play for Kevin Young, the actual coaches who decided they wanted to do coach with Kevin Young. It has been A+. Can there be something higher? You know how you take a AP, you were academic all state in Utah. You could take an AP class and it was worth more than like a 4.0 grade. Whatever's higher than A+, like BYU crushed it this offseason. They got higher than that. It's been the greatest offseason in BYU men's basketball history.
Without question. This is hands down the greatest recruiting class that BYU has ever put together, and it's not close. It has gone into a different stratosphere. It is removed from this current galaxy. BYU is living in a different galaxy right now. When you consider just who they're, just start with Yegor Ademan and Cannon Catchings.
Just those two would have been good enough, Spence.
Then you add Elijah Crawford, four-star, Kebba Keita, who was considered one of the best pieces available in the transfer portal. Kebba Keita is going to be amazing for BYU. And then Mwip Magg, who has been called by two Big Ten coaches the best defensive player they've ever seen.
We don't have space to put his picture up there, but it's in yellow. Brody Kozlowski, four-star.
Oh, yeah. Then there's Brody.
We have so many good players, we had to put a four-star off the pictures.
By the way, incidentally ran into Andy Enfield in the elevator at SMU. He left USC to go to SMU. We talked about Brody Kozlowski. You were like,
thank you, sir.
I said, Brody and his family definitely loved you. And he said, I was heartbroken to lose a guy like that.
They tried to get him to SMU.
Yes.
Yeah.
They loved Brody. Now he's at BYU. So I, in a way, was thanking him for going to SMU. Thanks, coach. He was very nice.
The only better elevator interaction we've ever had was with Kyle Whittingham's mom at the 2015 Las Vegas Bowl. She was in the elevator with us, and she was like in her big like Ute headdress.
Sure.
And she said, hey, I watch you guys on BYU Sports Nation. You do a great job. And we were like, thank you.
Thank you.
And I was thinking,
Mrs. Whittingham.
I was like, why do you watch BYU Sports Nation? But we love that you watch BYU Sports Nation. That's great.
No, listen, she knows. The roots are still there, man.
There's more youths watching the show than you'd think. Yeah?
Our question of the day, going back to football. Should BYU be more than an 11-point favorite heading into Saturday's game at Wyoming?
This is like every Wednesday topic for us now. The line!
Because they've all been, shocking in a way.
It's been interesting.
But then when you dive into it, you're like, okay, I understand.
Yeah.
But it's still on the surface, it is shocking.
Yeah.
At Clone Coug answers, no. I say let Vegas keep underestimating BYU, and they'll come out and win by 30+. Hashtag BYUSN.
That's the hope and prayer.
And then the other topic is, what is enough? What is enough to feel good?
That's tomorrow or Friday.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
After further review and BYU football's Klein Stock Air on demand on BYUSN.com anytime you want and the free BYU TV app.
After the break, former NFL and BYU linebacker Isaiah Kafusi joins the program. Does he think that BYU's defense can sustain what they were doing at SMU? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
This is just the beginning. It's statement number two. Last week was number one, this week's number two. We got a lot more statements ahead of us to make, and we're looking forward to making them.
And credit to this coaching staff and credit to the players for buying in, because through the first two games, this BYU run defense has improved significantly.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up once again with Jerem Jordan. Joining us now is BYU TV football analyst and former BYU linebacker standout. He is Isaiah Kafusi. Isaiah, how are you feeling this morning?
I'm fantastic. I mean, anytime BYU wins, right, it just kind of sets the tone for the next week. And so happy for a win and happy for another week.
And on a personal level, you and your wife are expecting a baby any day now, right?
Any day, yep. So I've got my phone right here. I am on call. If she texts me, I might have to leave. So
hey, we get it, dude. If you that'd be a first in show history.
This prompts another question. What happens if she is at the hospital in labor and BYU is playing concurrently against Wyoming? How do you manage that very stressful situation?
You know, I haven't been in that situation before, but I feel like I've been prepared for it. The game would be on the TV. I'd be there with her, helping her, right? Just do both.
And you're like, push, 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 but you're yelling at Tyler Batty to get a push into the backfield. She confuses that. It happens. It's crazy. Let's talk about that defensive performance, Isaiah. No touchdowns allowed, three takeaways, two on defense, both in the red zone. Do you feel like that's sustainable from BYU? Because that was pretty darn good.
Yeah, I've been extremely impressed with the defense. I mean, I love what Jay has been doing scheme-wise, especially on the third downs, right? I think once we get kind of the offense behind the chains, that's where the magic happens. And I think we see kind of the genius of Jay Hill really displayed. And so, you know, the guys are executing. And I love just what the defense has been doing the last two games.
How much of what the defense is doing and the improvements that we have seen from last year to this year, granted it's only two games into the new season, but how much of that is based on the fact that it is year two of Jay Hill's defense and the core returns?
Yeah, I think that's a big impact, right? It's like the experience, it's year two, we've got some time in the defense and time to learn. And I think highlighting that really was Mark Collins' interception, right? Like he comes in, obviously, you know, as a transfer, but he's seeing this, he's practicing this, and then all of a sudden he goes and he makes a phenomenal play, really a game-changing play, in my opinion. And so I would credit a lot of the success of the defense to just the experience and having that time with Jay and in the defense.
No one's more experienced than Mark Collins. He's about to play his 50th game in college, thanks to COVID and redshirts and whatever, against Wyoming. Jack Kelly, as the rover or weak side linebacker, has been trusted to do a lot. He's got the green dot, the C2P communication from Jay Hill. He's got that as four quarterback hurries. He's been in the backfield quite a bit. What impact has he had right away through two games?
Yeah, he, to me, is the impact player of the defense, right? And to see kind of the A on the jersey, the green dot, like it signals that he is respected by his teammates, his coaches trust him. And so, you know, that kind of culminates into, hey, let's let this guy loose. Let's have him blitz. Let's get him in the backfield. Let's have him drop. And his impact to me is just been phenomenal, right? To come in, to make the plays that he has, to earn the respect of your guys, and then to just make plays. That to me, he's kind of the anchor of that defense.
Isaiah Kafusi is with us on BYU Sports Nation, former BYU linebacker. As you look at Wyoming, and if you look and spend even 5 minutes looking at their team statistics through their two games, not hard to see that they're not good across the board. So what do you expect from BYU's defense when they do go to a hostile environment but take on a football team that is really struggling right now?
Yeah, this is a great opportunity, right, to, like, just iron out the things that you want to, right? Like, let's use this game to springboard us into league play. And, you're no respecter of persons, right? You prepare the same way every single week, and regardless of the team that you're playing, right? But this game is a game that I think we can really start to, let's get guys in, let's get guys some experience, let's really kind of start to open up some of the defense and really take advantage of this game to springboard us, you know, into league play.
So you expect a big enough game win to get a bunch of subs in, because right now it's an interesting thing. BYU should go to Wyoming and beat this team that's 0-2 and has really struggled on both sides of the ball, not generating offense. They lose at home to the backup quarterback of Idaho. Third string gets in there for the Vandals. Yet, Jake Retzlaff against FBS teams in five starts has turned it over quite a bit. Kalani fired up about that this week. Can he control the ball? BYU's top two running backs are out, Isaiah. So with those things in mind, do you feel like BYU should still win big at Wyoming?
Yeah, I mean, that's the expectation, right, is you have two games under your belt. You're hopefully improving, and you're like, you've got some good tape to say, hey, this is where, as an offense and as a defense and as special teams, where we really need to improve. And, I would expect some good things, right? I want to see, obviously, the offense taking care of the football. Would love to see getting those two backs, right, some experience. I saw some great things against SMU. And then, it's just about – just putting it out there, right? Taking those calculated risks, right? Throwing some deep balls but taking care of the football at the same time.
When you look at the line, we're talking about BYU needs to go up there and dominate. The Cougars are an 11-point favorite. So, Isaiah, let's say BYU wins by 12. I'll throw out a hypothetical 31-19 or maybe a 24-10, and they win by 14. Would that be enough, or where are your expectations for what type of score BYU fans should expect?
Yeah, I mean, that's valid, right? That's fair. You want to see big plays, right? And big plays lead to high scores. And so, anytime you can get two, three scores up on a team, right, to me, that's exactly where I think we should be. So, putting a number on it, I don't know that I could. But you know, anytime you start to really dominate the time of possession, really drive down the field, right? Execute the plays. I want to see some big plays, right? Like I'd love to see Chase Roberts downfield, you know, on some deep passes and, you know, those calculated risks from the quarterback. You know, to me, that's just the recipe to, you know, 2, 3, 4 score, you know, wins.
Okay, I'm going to press you on this a little bit because this is a Wyoming team that lost to Arizona State by 41. And again, as Jaren pointed out, lost at home to Idaho, the number 5 FCS team, 17-13. So if BYU only wins by 11 or 12, Isaac, are you really going to be okay with that? Or are you thinking it's got to be 20 plus?
No, I'm okay with it, right? Like a win is a win at the end of the day. But I think, yeah, now that we're talking about this hypothetical, right? Obviously, yeah, 12, I mean, yeah, we want to see 14 at least, right? Two scores, right? So we know that the score always isn't indicative of how the teams have played.
Sure.
Throughout the game, right? Some people come in, we know the subs come in the second half and you know, the score changes. But to me, the score is not so much important as, hey, what are we actually doing offensively that's improving from last year or from last week, right? Whatever the case may be.
In that case, you look back at last year and the run game was not effective. BYU still sub 4.0 yards per carry right now. Had some timely moments, right? Obviously the Miles Davis 37-yard run on 4th-and-1's amazing. Enoch Nawahina on 4th-and-2, 9-yard touchdown. So they've had some real bright spots on 4th down especially. But we still need to see that this BYU run game is improved from last year. We've seen one performance against an FCS team. Do you expect that to happen this week with the 3rd, 4th, and 5th string guys?
Yeah, I mean, that's the expectation, right? Like, if you want to build a program and a culture that can succeed week in and week out, especially in the Big 12, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're the 3rd or 4th or 5th guy, right? Or if you came from the defense and you got thrown into the running back position, which we've seen.
Harvey Lunge.
The expectation is that you have to come in. We need to see improvement. We want to see the run game really pick up, and it doesn't really matter where you're at on the depth chart.
Okay, are the Cougars straight up, yes or no, ahead of schedule through 2 games?
Yes.
Why do you believe that?
Well, I mean, look, we've seen some great things. I think we've seen glimpses, right, of a BYU football team that can succeed in the Big 12 and that has like a good chance to win a lot of games this year. And then we've seen some things, obviously, right, that we, you know, we put on film and you go back and you say, man, we shouldn't have done that. And here's where we can fix it up and improve it. So to me, I think that the team is ahead of schedule. I think defensively, I mean, we are just looking super sharp. Would love to see the offense obviously take care of the football, but we've seen some good things. And then special teams, obviously, I think is the area for me that I'd love to see some improvements, right? Setting us up field position wise, et cetera. But I think we're ahead of schedule for sure.
Yeah, net field position right now, BYU 119 out of 134. So certainly that could help. And when you turn it over and give the other team in their red zone field position, that's going to kill that number. Looking ahead, you mentioned, hey, they're ahead of schedule. Do you feel like BYU is prepared for Big 12 play right now, or what do you want to see against Wyoming that makes you feel like, okay, we're headed in the right direction in XYZ area?
Yeah, I think headed in the Big 12, right, there's a couple of things that I would like to see. Obviously, we've just hit on it, the run game, right? Like, you've got to be able to run the football successfully to have a shot at winning games. And then the turnover margin, right? You cannot turn the ball over in these big time games and expect to win. You know, and then to me, right, I think the defense is definitely there. We've got some great guys. I love the back end, right? It's kind of some of the calls in the scheme that Jay has called and kind of implemented to me shows trust in the back end, and the linebackers and the defensive line. So to me, right, I think we're close. This game, obviously another opportunity to just get even closer to being league ready. And I'm really excited about this game. Really excited to see kind of how we respond and how the guys are going to come out right against this Wyoming team.
Okay, we'll finish with this. Through 2 games, who has been the most valuable player for BYU football?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with my linebacker. Got to give my linebacker some love, right? Jack Kelly, and then I think Isaiah Glasker is a close second. Mm. Right, we've seen just some phenomenal plays. Obviously, Isaiah getting pretty involved in the run game, and the rush defense, and even rushing the passer and some pass downs, had the big sack. But Jack Kelly, I think, to me, most valuable player. He just seems super comfortable in the defense. He's extremely smart. He knows the defense in and out. You can just see him, like, he knows when to make plays, when the opportunities present itself to make plays, and he just does his job.
Of course, an Isaiah would pick another Isaiah. Yeah. Sack Kelly is a fun nickname as well for Jack. He's in the background, man. That's awesome.
Isaiah, great to talk to you, man. We appreciate the time. We wish you the best of luck as you await the birth of your next child.
Yeah.
Keep us updated.
Yeah, we want to be the 11th to know, okay?
Yeah, I'll keep you guys on speed dial.
keep us in the
we
top 11.
We shouldn't be top 10, let's be honest.
Oh, goodness. Isaiah, we appreciate the time. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Former BYU and, frankly, NFL linebacker Isaiah Kapusi. Had his little
with
run
with the
Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
Played well.
He's got a brother in the linebacker room, right? And that group has been awesome. There are 11 dudes that are in the mix. 9 are playing, and you got those big three, right, of Kelly, Taggart, Glasker. Pretty awesome, man. And there's always a Kapusi in that room, which is awesome. I feel more comfortable when there's a Kapusi on the
Is there an extra
G-line
linebacker
or
that can play running back a la Tyler Allgeier? They can move into the running back's room to help out with the depth there a
you
little bit?
You forget that Tyler Allgeier against Washington in 2019 was playing defense, right? Like, I totally forgot that until this moment. Hey, check out BYUSN Game Day coming up on Saturday, 7 Eastern time. Spencer, live from Laramie, a Linton in Laramie.
Can't wait.
It's going to be a big game for BYU as there's some question marks in certain areas.
After the break, let's take a look back at one of the best moments in BYU football history. Maybe the best in the last decade?
What?
This is BYU Sports Nation.
Yeah, it was.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's look back on what fantastic moment happened on this date in Cougar football history as we celebrate the 100th season of BYU football. Jerem, remind the people, it wasn't that long ago.
This is a good one. September 11th, 2021, BYU takes down Utah, ending the 9-game losing streak. Received the Big 12 invite the day before. It was the greatest weekend in the history of the world. I think I moved into my house on Tuesday of that week.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a great week. Utah's first drive, Chaz Aiyu picks off Charlie Brewer, who we should send a fruit basket to every Christmas. Jaren Hall threw 2 touchdown passes in the first half. Neil Pau, Samson Nakua, BYU up 16-7 at half, dog.
Jaren Hall threw his 3rd touchdown pass of the game to Gunnar Romney to give BYU a 23-7 lead. BYU was up 23-7 in this game. Outstanding. 12-play, 6.5-minute drive to lead to a Jake Oldroyd field goal. Eventually gave BYU a 9-point lead at 26-17 late in the fourth. Tyler Allgeier, they could not keep him behind the first down marker. He helped seal the win with some huge runs. BYU ended the streak, and not surprisingly, fans storm the field.
What a great week, man. It was so good.
To say the least. Best moment in the Satake era? Has to be, right?
Probably.
Has to be, right?
Yeah.
It's at the top. It was unbelievable.
There have been some good moments. That's
you're invited to the Big 12 the next day, you end the streak?
End the streak.
Yeah. Amazing.
And that streak hasn't ended, by the way, the one-game win.
Pac-12 South champs that year. Come on, man.
Yeah.
De facto.
Utah hasn't beaten BYU since 2019, just saying.
Let's roll out today's headlines.
BYU continues preparation for Wyoming this Saturday. Cornerback Jacob Robinson says the pressure up front makes all the difference on defense.
We've never had pressure like that since I've been here. And it just makes it honestly easier just for the safeties, the corners, just to cover. Because we don't have to cover for 6 seconds anymore. It's 2 seconds, 3 seconds, so it's nice.
Let's stay with the BYU football defense, specifically BYU safety Preston Rex, who underwent ACL surgery and is out for the remainder of the season. We're wishing Preston and the Rex family the best. Get better quickly.
Women's golf finished 6th at the Dick McGuire Invitational yesterday. Sophomore MJ Berrigan, the top Cougar, finishing at 1 over par. She finished tied for 10th.
All right, that wraps up your headlines. And it's time, Jerem, to remind the people that they can get involved with Cougs on the Cruise.
Yeah, come hang out with us. BYU Athletics announced more BYU legends joining its official cruise. Cruising with Cougs, sailing April 2025. Derwin Grant is why Vicky, that'll be awesome. Former BYU track and field stars are coming as well. She was a track and field star. Jason Buck, Outland Trophy winner. Kristen Kozlowski, Travis Hanson, Mark Durant from Hoops. The National Championship Cougarettes will be joining us on the cruise. Stay tuned for more big announcements coming next week. It's 100% reserved for all BYU fans. I've specifically requested no Utah fans. Space limited, so go to BYUcruise.com to save your spot.
After the break, how does training with Olympians, and an Olympic silver medalist for that matter, help the current BYU cross-country team? Well, Aiden Trautner and Davin Thompson join us next. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We're live in Studio B. He is Jerem. I am Spencer. Let's talk about some elite runners, shall we?
Hey, number two in the country, men's cross country, baby.
And representing that men's cross country team, a dynamic duo. They are Aiden Trautner, two-time All-American, and Davin Thompson. Welcome back to the show.
What's up, dudes?
Davin, good to have you in Studio B. Thank
you. Yeah, it's good to be here.
Let's go, baby.
All right, let's start with the number two ranking. You always want to be number one, but you're staring up at Big 12 rival and a really tough foe in Oklahoma State. So how do you manage preseason expectations when you are the number two team in the country? Question for both of you. Aiden, how do you manage those preseason expectations?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so this is my fifth year, I guess. So every year we've been ranked in the top three. So it's not hugely different. The thing that Coach Eisen always says is that the ranking only matters at the end of the season when it's after nationals. That's the only ranking we care about. So it puts some pressure on that national championship, but the important thing is just the whole season is a process and just making sure that you're getting better every single day, just individually.
NAU was the big rival. Are they still the big rival, or is it Oklahoma State now in the Big 12?
Yeah, NAU is always going to be good. That's just a fact.
Yep.
But Oklahoma State is the big dog right now. They got a lot of Africans on the team and arguably one of the best teams in collegiate history. So yeah, it's going to be a fight.
Do you feel the rivalry more like with Northern Arizona, even though you're not, you know, competing, I guess you still compete against them, but like you're in the Big 12 now with Oklahoma State. So has that rivalry dynamic shifted more to Oklahoma State?
I think it has just because they've also been more dominant, but I think it almost just feels like a trio of rivalry instead of just two of us. Now there's three.
Yeah.
So
it's awesome.
Do you like it, Aiden? Does it make you run harder, prepare better?
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing is we interact and we know those guys on both of those teams super well. So going up against them, like every single race, we're racing one of those two teams pretty much. So you get so much exposure that there isn't so much buildup that it feels like overwhelming at all. But I mean, yeah, it gets pretty intense, especially at nationals. It's pretty much always comes down to one of these three teams, and they've gotten the better of us the past couple years. And so we're just trying to rewrite that history a little bit.
Cross country season's so interesting. By the way, was that you or Creed getting their hands?
Yeah, that was me.
That was you. Okay, yeah. Sorry, I couldn't tell. You were a twin. When was that? What's the story of that photo?
Yeah, so this is actually my first season back after 2 years of injury. So last year. Thank you. I appreciate it. Last year for cross country, I lost a bet with one of my teammates, and so he got to do whatever he wanted to my hair.
Hold on, what was the bet?
It was just a bet to get to bed on time. So if we went to bed after 9 o'clock, then you got a point, and you didn't want points. Most points lost. So I lost by like 2 points after like 6 months.
And 6 months, and it was 2 points.
Yeah. Wow. So he bleached my hair. And then nationals came up, and I was just going to be a spectator. I was injured, so I decided to surprise the team, and I dyed my hair blue. And then all Americans got dibs on shaving my head after. So
very nice.
It was sick.
That's really funny. Casey Klinger's coming back from injury as well. Adds to a very deep team, Aiden. What are you excited about with this group trying to win a national championship?
Yeah, I mean, we always felt like maybe 2022, last year too, probably our most like talented teams we've ever had. Unfortunately, we've come up against also the two most talented teams in NCAA history with NAU and Oklahoma State.
Crazy.
But we're returning pretty much everyone from those two past 2 years, team-wise. Like Casey, obviously, is a huge cog in our team, and he's always going to lead us in cross country. But we got an Olympian coming back, which no one else does. You know,
that's so like pretty awesome.
that's huge, having James Corden back. The Thompson twins are back. I'm back. Joey Noakes is back. So we're looking really good. Like, we're for sure have our most experienced and deep team we've ever had. So it's just about executing on the day. We got a long time to build up and get better until then.
You mentioned James. Obviously, he's involved in the day-to-day, but Kenneth Rooks is a good friend of yours as well. He wins the silver medal. How does that work when you're training? Do you invite these former athletes as professionals then to come back and run with you? Do they?
Connor and Clayton.
Do those workouts happen all together?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say, like, we invite them. They just come whenever they want. It's just like...
As they probably should.
Yeah, you know? It's like, so today, you know, it'll be a random day. Kenneth will come. Actually, Kenneth, since he's still in school, he pretty much runs with us every single day. He's taking a little break as he gets ready for steeple season later on. But yeah, I mean, we train with him all the time, and you really get a lot of confidence. Just, you know, we have the exact same coach as they do, and we're, for the most part, getting the same basics in terms of training. So it gives you a lot of confidence and belief, like, hey, this stuff works, so just believe in it, and it's going to work out.
Is that awesome? Is it weird? Are you, like, hopeful that it could happen for you? Like, what does this mean? Because these guys are very down-to-earth and cool about it, and some of your friends and teammates here that have been in the Olympics.
Yeah, it's awesome because getting to the Olympics is, like, the pinnacle of the sport, and everyone wants to do it, and let alone getting a medal like Kenneth.
Right.
So it's super cool to see that these are just normal guys, and they're some of our best friends, and we know them on such a deep and personal level. And it's so inspiring just to see that, you know, there's normal guys and any of us could do it too on any given day. And we have, like Hayden said, we have the same coach, the same training, and they push us to be better every day.
Does Kenneth ever wear the silver medal around? Have you seen it?
I wish. He hurt his shoulder. I think it was too heavy. Yeah. Just carrying it around all the time.
Poor guy comes back to the airport.
How'd you hurt yourself? silver medal.
Exactly. Yeah, too much weight. Yeah.
There's a lot going on there.
It's a good problem.
Aiden, I do want to ask you about your sub 4 minute mile in the Smith Fieldhouse. One, it's remarkable, but two, to do it in the Smith Fieldhouse specifically, what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, you know, I was actually talking to one of my friends the other day, and he was telling me, like, oh, I'm in a cadaver lab in the Smith Fieldhouse. And I was just thinking, like, that's so crazy. Like,
we run. People don't know that. Yeah, that, like, that's
real. We run there every day, and there are cadavers above us. Like, I don't want to say that's how ghetto the fieldhouse is, but it's like, that's how
it's multifunctional.
It's pretty old. Yes, it is multifunctional. So, yeah, I mean, we run there every day, so it's like we get used to it. But yeah, it was a big deal to do that. But I think most importantly, it gave me confidence for the rest of that indoor season to make it to nationals and then make it to nationals in the 5K for outdoor. And really, it's just building up to what's most important to me is just the team success in cross country. Like, that's. Like, I've been here 5 years, and the one thing I feel like hasn't quite worked out yet is a cross-country team title. And so, obviously, some things are out of our control in terms of other teams, but we're definitely looking forward to it. So, yeah, that mile definitely gave me some confidence.
Awesome. I'll never look at the Smith Fieldhouse the same again
after
that bit of news.
No, that's a real thing. There's the cadavers, and then there's the opponents who die in there, too.
Where dreams come to die.
Exactly.
The Autumn Classic in Orem at the Lakeside Sports Complex this Friday, 9:45 a.m. Mountain Time. Give you some BYU Sports Station karma to both of you for that.
Good luck.
You can share it with the team. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, women's soccer taking on Arizona State coming up tomorrow, 9 Eastern on ESPN+. Big game for the ladies. A couple of injuries that have really hurt BYU, but hopefully they get after it against Sundown.
After the break, Jay Swagdaddy, Jamal Williams, his fascination with anime, dancing, it all comes together, and he's doing good as well. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Should BYU football be more than an 11-point favorite as they head into Saturday night's game against Wyoming? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from Kurt JB07 on X, who says, it's a fair line considering the way BYU has played so far this season. If the offense plays a clean game, there's no way that Wyoming will be able to keep up and the Cougs will win by 21+. This is the way, Jerem.
Yep.
Take care of the ball. It will be a blowout. If BYU does not, then it could be a 10 or 11 point game.
Wyoming's averaging 10 points a game. I don't see them putting up one.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Jamal Williams hosted the Son of a Saint Anime Club at Sunday's season opening win for the Saints. It's an organization whose mission is to transform the lives of fatherless boys. Jamal hanging out with these kids. This is fantastic. Jamal Amazing. Is the man.
He's my favorite. He's everybody's favorite. Our thanks to today's guests, Isaiah Kafusi, Aiden Troutner, and Davin Thompson.
Sorry, Dennis.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Mike Salito. Go Cougs.